Hey, welcome back to the Bugle. This is, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. This is the Bugle Thanksgiving special. It's also going to be a regular new thing. We're going to have a podcast coming out on Thursdays as well. It's going to be more about interacting with the community and interviewing some of our friends and people in the space. I'm not sure if we're going to do like spaces or like invite a bunch of people or do just podcast episodes, but let us know which you would like to do, if you'd like to do spaces or like come on the show. But to celebrate, you know, to kick this off, we're doing it with Sly Goomba. I don't know if you guys know him from Bitcoin Twitter, but Sly, how's it going, man? Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, boys. Excited to talk to a fellow Bitcoin podcasters on a Bitcoin podcast about Bitcoin podcasting and just be thankful for this this time of year where we get to share our gratitude and happiness, not only for Bitcoin, but also Bitcoin podcasts and what they mean to us.
Hell yeah. Do you, Sly, you are Canadian. Do you guys celebrate Thanksgiving up there, or do you do it on a different day?
It's a different Thanksgiving. So I, being in Bitcoin, I gave up on the Canadian dollar almost instantly because I realized it was a failed project. And so, although
they don't have Tether Canadian dollars, right? They only have USDT. They don't have CADT.
Well, CADT would be a back step. I think Tether is a smart, great company, and they really know what they're doing over there. So they recognized the power that the USD has, and they stuck to that one. It's a smart choice, in my opinion. As for Thanksgiving, yeah, we celebrate it in October. So I got to be thankful in October. And then I also identify as an American. Being a Bitcoiner, you kind of take on those American values and what really matters here. We're talking about the founding fathers and of Bitcoin and how no other country matters anymore in a Bitcoin world. Right. It's America or it's Bitcoin, and that's it. So I'm going to celebrate Thanksgiving again with you guys because being thankful is important. It's one of the most important things, gratitude. If you're not grateful for what you have and what you get to experience, then you have nothing.
So you weren't grateful. You were excited when the price crossed 100K. Canadian dollars.
I didn't even notice, man. I honestly didn't notice. It's such a dead currency. I say that like not even joking. There's no point. I've never, the first time I cared about the Canadian price or the Bitcoin price in Canadian dollars was when I noticed the change in what 58K meant, right? So the first time Bitcoin hit 58K American, it was like 80K Canadian. And then the next time, a couple of years later, it was 90K Canadian or whatever. And then when we hit 58K in 2026 here, you know, just 2 years away, it's going to be great time for the 58K gang. But it will likely be 200, maybe 300, could be $500,000 Canadian by that time in 2026. So any Canadians listening, I highly recommend you just divorce from the Canadian dollar.
Don't you think that Canadian citizens should have enough pride and patriotism that they would want to at least, I mean, I can understand not having a Canadian dollar Tether on Ethereum, but not even to have it on Tron. And for like your, like the main celebrity from Canada, which is Drake, he doesn't even like throw up Canadian dollars in the music videos. He uses US dollars. Like, you guys don't feel like you want to make the Canadian dollar great again?
No, I want to see the Canadian dollar die. We have people on our money. They're kings and queens of another nation, Great Britain or something along those lines. There's a new king over there. I think he's going to be on our paper money soon. And so I just don't want that. I prefer the money that has symbolism like pyramids with eyes on top of them, Federal Reserve notes. This is a currency that's actually backed by a real government that at least is willing to go and murder people all across the world to make sure that their currency stays alive, wherein Canada, there's nothing backing the Canadian dollar at all. Not even the force of the government.
I would like to fact check that. So what's backing the Canadian dollar is tolerance and anti-racism, which should not be lauded as unimportant or insignificant. So I want to fact check you and caveat there, but I have a question for you, Goomba. So you're Canadian, you believe in Bitcoin, the local currency is dying, and you're currently not operating a podcast. So I wonder if you're letting your fellow countrymen down by not having a Bitcoin podcast. What would you say to that?
So with the podcast scene, there's been Bitcoin podcasts, like Bitcoin go in cycles. I think we're all aware of this, right? People come in, they podcast for 4 years, and then they bow out. And so we see the new wave of Bitcoin podcasters coming through. Bram Cronstein is really up and coming. There's some great Bitcoin podcasters. Walker America, another one that just started up, the Bitcoin podcast. There's a handful of good Bitcoin podcasts coming to the scene. But what I've noticed recently is that we have a lot of Bitcoin podcasts for new Bitcoiners, or a lot of Bitcoin podcasts for millennials, or a lot of Bitcoin podcasts for women, for devs, for lightning freaks, all these things. But where are the Bitcoin podcasts for Bitcoin podcasters? I think this is a market that I'd like to break into. And so I may be coming back with the Bitcoin podcast for Bitcoin podcasters, because we really need to start spreading the message of the importance of podcasting. And I when I come back, I want it to be something that matters.
Is there anything like this in any other culture? Like, you know, like a comedy podcast for comedy podcasters, or a politics podcast for politics podcasters? I don't think this exists yet. This is going to be like a new innovation.
Yeah, I haven't seen it myself yet. I tend to think I'm a very outside the box thinker. And so I think Bitcoin podcast for Bitcoin podcasters would be great, because, you know, there's a path that every Bitcoiner goes on. If you're listening to this now and you don't have a Bitcoin podcast, it's only a matter of time until you do.
Right.
Some people choose to start their Bitcoin podcast.
It's a calling.
Yeah, you can choose to start your Bitcoin podcast immediately. That's what I did. 2 weeks into being a Bitcoiner, I started my podcast. Some people wait until they're a cycle in or two cycles in. But eventually, you know, everybody becomes a Bitcoin podcaster. And we need to spread the message of the importance of Bitcoin podcasting to Bitcoin podcasters.
Right. Richard and I were talking about this, actually. And we didn't really come to an agreement, but I'm curious about your opinion. The importance of your Bitcoin podcast logo. Like, do you make it look like corporate, like simply Bitcoin, or do you have a podcast logo at all? Like, maybe the best, you know, maybe people are looking for the wrong type of logo, and, you know, they stumble upon your show, but the logo doesn't match the show. What do you think about logos? Do you put a big importance on your logo?
So with logos and things of that nature, I'm not sure if you're aware, but there's these new programs available called artificial intelligence, or AI, photo generation. So you can punch in to the field there and say, I need the best Bitcoin podcast for Bitcoin podcasters logo, make me an image, and the AI will do that for you. So really, that's time that I can save. I don't need to think about it anymore. The bandwidth on my brain, I'm not going to waste time thinking about a logo.
If you see an AI generated logo, you know that podcast is thermodynamically sound. They do not waste the most important research thing in the world, which is time.
Asset. Yeah.
Asset. The most valuable asset.
Yeah. I mean, you need to listen to Bitcoin podcasts from people that understand the scarcity of their own block time, right?
Yeah.
We only have so many blocks in our life. And if you're going to waste them trying to think about things that AI can do for you, then you're just setting yourself back. You're wasting blocks. And I don't want to associate with people that waste blocks. I want people that are using the tools that are available to them in the time that they're available to create right. the best content available.
Right. Bitcoin podcasters understand the value of time. So that's if they put an hour episode out, you know it's worth your time. What do you think about that, Richard?
Well, I think it is a very high time preference, or sorry, low time preference way to look at podcasting, which is unique. I mean, I want to say, first of all, I think it's a great idea to start a Bitcoin podcast for Bitcoin podcasters, because I have this fear that the general Bitcoin podcast ecosystem is very deficient when it comes to getting in their own 40 hours. And I think if you're an individual that's getting interested in Bitcoin and wants to take it seriously, and you start listening to your 40 hours a week, if you're listening to Bitcoin podcasters that don't actually do their 40 hours, I feel like you're kind of getting the wool pulled over your eyes. You know what I mean?
Right. That is, there is no credential for Bitcoin podcasters, but having the 40 hours per week, that proof of work is the best, second best substitute, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to ask Goomba a little bit more about Canada. So some places in Canada, people talk funny. You put funny talkers on your local currency. One of the things that's very exciting about the Donald Trump presidency is he respects podcasts, unlike any other former former president. So like he really marked the first example of a major shift from broadcast journalism to podcast journalism this election cycle. He's also a Bitcoiner, and it's looking like he's going to be very friendly towards Bitcoin podcasters. How do you think Canadians should respond from a national security standpoint if Justin Trudeau does not see the value of Bitcoin podcasts?
Well, one thing to remember about Justin Trudeau is he is actually, there's a famous clip of him that went online a few years back where he does inform the Canadian populace to buy Bitcoin and opt out of inflation. And when he said that, I saw that clip and I said, okay, this guy gets it. This is the way to opt out of inflation, buy Bitcoin, opt out of inflation. It's a very famous clip. I'm sure you guys can probably pull it up here, have it in the show notes for the people that haven't seen it yet. So I'm hopeful that Justin there is buying sats for our country. I'm not sure if he is. It's hard because, as you can see, you know, America or other countries that can print their own currency are going to be able to buy more sats, wherein Justin is printing as absolutely fast as he can. He's just trying to get the currency out there. He wants to make as much currency as possible. But the problem is that there's only 21 million Bitcoins. And so if he keeps printing more and more Canadian dollars, he's only going to get so many sats for those Canadian dollars. And so, I mean, we'll see what happens with the next Canadian selection. It's likely that we'll go a more conservative route with Pierre Poilievre. And he'll likely be more open, well, just as open to buying Bitcoin for the country. I think, you know,
does Pierre Poilievre tolerate ordinals?
I don't think anybody tolerates ordinals. I think that was...
Canada's very tolerant.
Well, it was about a two-week stint, right, where ordinals were a thing. They kind of came and went. Maybe we'll see them come back this cycle. I'm not sure.
I think that you would, as a Canadian, even as a conservative Canadian like Pierre, you would almost have to back ordinals. I don't think you would have a choice, because the entire fabric of the country is built on top of tolerance.
Well, right? The question is the Trump trading cards that he launched, are those on the ordinal protocol, or are those on some other blockchain technology? I'm not sure. I haven't looked into them myself. Personally, I'm not into NFTs, ordinals, or any of that stuff, but I understand some people are. And so if Trump is launching his own trading cards and his own coins, then it's very politician thing to do, right? Get people to buy whatever it is that you think is important. So if Trump can do it, maybe Pierre Poilievre will do it as well. It's just a question of what the populace will take at that point, and how much money the average Canadian has to spend on something like a ordinal, which will not be much.
Do you think that somebody, if in Canada they minted an ordinal, that they would have to do like the land apologies but for the block space that they took?
Dude, I went to a... Yeah, I mean... Okay,
If you mine a block on a plot of land that was previously owned by a Native American, you should definitely sign the apology in the block.
It's important. I just went to in a hockey annex. I just went to a hockey game last week. It's protocol here for any Canadian to go to at least one hockey game a year. So I did mine last week, and I did stand as the announcer was telling us about the importance of the land of the First Nations that lived on the land where the stadium was built upon. So it's likely that if blocks are digital real estate in cyberspace, that it's important to recognize that. So I could for sure see Canadians acknowledging that.
I could too. Do you think that they'll do an acknowledgement for the Canadian dollar when Tether? Do you think like they'll do it when Tether takes over the Canadian dollar? Everybody uses Tether on Tron in Ottawa, and Montreal, and Vancouver.
Yeah,
I wouldn't use it in like Edmonton though. You got like Saskatchewan, like you guys are based.
I look forward to when Canada dollarizes to the USDT. I think that'll be a good step forward for Canada. Using a money that's less hard is simply just foolish. And using a hard money like USDT that can only be minted by backed by real US dollars.
And so you'll be able to use them on Lightning.
So we'll have Canadians using Lightning, using USDT on Lightning. And we'll really see what the country is capable of at that point. So I'm looking forward to that for sure.
What would you say to Canadian citizens that look at Bitcoin and they feel like they're too late? They feel like it's too expensive. They can't afford it.
Yeah, I would say that you are too late. If you're in Canada and you haven't started buying Bitcoin yet, you're too late. All you can do now is sell your body. Whether you're a man, that means hard labor, or woman, sell whatever labor you can in order to trade it for sats. Because we're at the point now where Canadian dollars just, they don't get you the sats that they used to. It is too late. So the only thing you can do now is go out there, work, produce value, do whatever you can to try and create value for your fellow Canadian. And hopefully you can trade those that time for sats.
Or start a podcast and get boosts on Fountain.
That's another good choice too. I mean, well, that's kind of a given, right? So as soon as you start selling your body for sats, you're on a fast track to Bitcoin podcasting.
Well, it's going to be really interesting because, you know, at the rate you're talking, you know, with the alarm bells that you're raising, you know, we saw this with Venezuela, you know, where people were, you know, essentially mining Bitcoin, as that was like the only way that they could feed their families in some circumstances. We very well could see a future where for Canadians, they all have to start Bitcoin podcasts because that's the only way they could feed their families.
It seems like they're starting to.
That's right. It's gotten to a point in this country where it's in complete collapse. Everywhere you look around, people are starving on the streets. There's musicians outside of grocery stores begging for still for Canadian dollars. And I'll try and explain to them, you don't want these coins, you want sats. And people are at such a low point, so much depression is going on, that there's just this complete there's just no hope for the future of Canada, and that will be turned around once we have a lot more Bitcoin podcasts going on, Bitcoin podcasts for Canadians. I think there's already one out there. What is that big Bitcoin podcast called? The Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. Yeah, that's one. Yeah,
that's correct.
So there'll be more Bitcoin podcasts for Canadians. We need it. I think Australians are right in behind us. I think the British folk are right there with us. Anybody in the G7 is likely to crumble, right? You guys know America will crumble last. But if you're in Australia right now, you know, start Bitcoin for Australians. If you're in England right now, start Bitcoin for the English. Wherever you are, it's important to start these and just really get the message out there that the world has fallen. The dollar, all the currencies have failed. It's already too late. Bitcoin has won. And it's important to change your money, because once you change your money from Canadian dollars or Australian dollars to sats, you win. And it's a much better life.
Yeah. It's no surprise to me that it's no coincidence that the truckers are the ones who started the trucker protest in 2022 for freedom in Canada, because truckers have the perfect job for listening to a lot of hours of Bitcoin podcasts.
That's true. That's true. I myself, I'm just a construction guy. I spend a lot of hours on the road going from site to site. And that's where I put in my 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast listening. I'll listen on the job site too. But those truckers, if you're just driving, you know, you're getting that information. It's important. And I think there's a major epidemic of people that listen to music on the highway as they're driving. And this is just, it's a big problem, because when you're listening to music, you're not learning. You're not learning any new information. You're simply drowning out the noise. And we need to have more people listening to less music and more people listening to more Bitcoin podcasts. That's how we change the world.
You need people searching for signal, not trying to drown out the noise.
That's right.
What if it was Bitcoin music podcast?
So that's also important. I think Bitcoin music is taking a great leap this year. 2024 has been a good time for
like Christian
Bitcoin music. Yeah, it's you get to praise,
it's like rock music but better.
Yeah, you listen to Bitcoin music and it really boosts your spirits. But you need to have that foundation first, right? You need to have the knowledge and understanding of what Bitcoin is before you can listen to the music. There's levels to this shit.
You have to let it in. Let it in your heart.
You need at least, like, what do you think the threshold is? Like, how many weeks or months of 40 hours a week until you have a proficient?
I mean, I would say close to a full cycle.
Yeah. I think so. It's might get in trouble for this one, but you can think of Bitcoin music a lot like Christian music or songs you listen to in church, wherein somebody can go to church and they're singing songs. That's the first thing. It's praise. It's wonderful. But you're not going to actually absorb the meaning of that music. It's not going to hit your heart the same way unless you've put in the time to read the Bible. So the same way that if you just jump into Bitcoin music, you might enjoy the beat, you might enjoy the melody, you might enjoy the lyrics, but you're not going to understand the significance of that piece of art unless you've put in at least one full cycle of 40 hours a day of Bitcoin podcasts.
I would like to hear a song from Rod that could be played in like a church, you know, like a modern church. So like, you imagine Pierre Richard or Jimmy Song or, you know, any of these guys affiliated with Thank God for Bitcoin. They're going to church on Sunday morning, you know, and
a good worship album.
Yeah, a good worship album. Worship. You know, like thank you, Jesus, for bringing the bull run, you know, or something like that. Like something
right. God created the bull and the bear. They let the bull run.
Would be good. Yeah, that would be nice. It's just you want to listen to when you look around at the world and you see everything collapsing in the fiat world. It's nice to just take a step back and worship and praise the good word and the good life that Bitcoin brings us all. So yeah, we need music. There's a lot of space for Bitcoin music producers. Still, I think there's a lot of space for Bitcoin podcasters, but there's a lot of space for Bitcoin music producers.
Especially if they make good high quality stuff. I think like there's been a lot of like failings when it comes to music and stuff pertaining to this industry, and a lot of it's centered around, you know, Vitalik Buterin. He's the meme, you know, doing his weird dance and trying to rap. And it needs to be significantly better than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to be better than Vitalik Buterin, that's for sure.
Or the hackers from Bitfinex. Remember their videos? They were rappers.
Razzle Drip or whatever their name was.
Right.
One great song that comes to mind when you talk about Bitcoin music is 3.125, Right Foot Step, Left Foot Slide. I still sing that song in my car. I don't know who actually did it. I don't know if you guys know.
Also, who could then? Probably the biggest hit is "Don't Stop Believing."
Oh, okay. That was actually That was I think Scottie Pippen must have helped write that song, because he actually knew Satoshi in '93, and "Don't Stop Believing" was written in around the '80s.
Yeah.
So it's likely that he probably got the tip off to say, "Hey, we're going to need a Bitcoin song here coming up soon, within the next half century."
And if you're good enough, you can kind of cross over into the mainstream like Creed or POD.
Yeah, I have a bit of a bone to pick with the Creed thing. I think Ben Justman may be a little bit too in the podcomp space, wherein he's really trying hard to send the message out. He's tweeting about cereal today. We all know that's not the Bitcoin way. If you're a Bitcoiner, you shouldn't be eating any cereals, Rice Krispies or Frosted Flakes. I saw that tweet today. It was upsetting. And so we know that the first pump of this cycle was shut down because of Creed. And so I'd love if we could start a movement to remove Creed from the Bitcoin ecosystem altogether. I know it started to become quite ingrained,
You want to filter Creed?
We need to filter Creed. That's right. We need to soft fork away the Bitcoin pumps from Creed, and start disassociating with anybody that feels Creed is important in a Bitcoin pump, because it simply is just a way to stop the pump.
Have you talked to Bitcoin Mechanic or Luke Jr. about this yet?
I haven't reached out to them yet. I know that they'd be on my side, though.
Any of the group chats with them?
So Ocean Mining is... I'm a big fan of Ocean Mining. I think Mechanic is an absolute genius. I think Luke Dash Jr. is an interesting dude. These guys know their shit, and they're in it for the right reasons. They care. They care a lot about Bitcoin. I think their one flaw is that they might think that Bitcoin hasn't won yet, wherein obviously Bitcoin has obviously won. So, you know, you got to give those guys their space, because they're still stressed out. They're still thinking, oh no, what do we have to do? How can we make Bitcoin win?
They're too close to it. They're too close to it.
That's right.
It's too hard for them to see that it's already won. That's a good point. I wonder how people like that can be convinced what it will take.
It's just time.
I think that when Haley Welch successfully launches her meme token, they'll realize that Bitcoin has won.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for Haley Welch. She's moved on to a Monero boy, you guys said. That's I think
oh, no, no, no. That was Kaylee. Kaylee and Haley are two
different people. Oh, shit. Sorry. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Haley is doing great things in the podcast space. Hawk Tua is a Bitcoin podcast. One of my favorite 100%. Bitcoin podcasts. She just recently had Wiz Khalifa on, who is
nobody has done a better job raising awareness for freeing Ross than Hawk Tua.
That's right. You know, she's really putting in the work. She took her fame and she made something of it, and Ross is going to get free, and it's likely that we need to thank Hawk Tua for that.
Agreed. One that getting on the topic, since we're in the bull market, is there anything that you're going to, any price or anything you would sell for?
So I don't sell sats. I sell my, in Canada, the only thing I can sell now is my body and my labor that I do. But when the price gets to a point where it's $300,000 American, I have made a decision with myself that I'm going to buy PlayStation 5. I think it's important to use money for what it's meant to be used for, which is trading for goods and services. I've spent almost 4 years now. I'm very close to my 4 year anniversary. It's December 20 something. Just after Christmas, I think it was like the 27th that I became a Bitcoiner.
Boxing Day?
Day after Boxing Day. So,
Maybe, like, if you're going to hodl till 300K, I think something that is very important to do at 100K is to buy a new pair of headphones. A nicer pair of headphones. Increase.
I've been trying to find a good pair of headphones, and you know what, Dick? I don't think they exist. Is there any? So I remember back when I was a kid, you'd buy headphones and they had a wire attached to them that you could plug in to the device you were listening to, right? And now these days I go to the store and they're just two little buds that you stick in your ears. Yeah, and these things,
your phones are air gapped
headphones. And the problem is that you just get one charge out of them. They say that they're rechargeable, but the problem is that they're not. You put them back in there, you try and plug them in, they don't charge. You got to throw them away. They're disposable. This is a problem with the Fiat system. They keep making these disposable products. So if you have any suggestions, this is a serious request, or anybody listening that is aware of headphones that don't suck, please send me a DM and let me know, because I'm looking for headphones that don't suck, and I've had zero.
So you have to go through these disposable headphones. So listening to your 40 hours per week is expensive.
It's expensive, yeah. So cool. I buy my sats every week. I have to denote a certain amount of my time spent to buying headphones weekly, and then groceries, and of course rent, and all the other essentials. But I have yet to find headphones that will last more than a couple weeks.
Well, I think one of the keys to this is you need over-the-ear headphones, right? So what you're referencing are earbuds, which are okay, but they do not give you the full podcast listening experience like over-the-ear headphones.
Say for Pod's Day, use the earbuds.
So I think
you need like the headphones they wear on like Air Force military planes. They're like, they stick out like 3 inches.
Yeah.
The problem is those just aren't practical for the line of work I'm in, right? I need something small and easy to,
and they keep your ears warm. It's Canada's cold.
Well, that's maybe that would be a good brand, Bitcoin podcast for Bitcoin podcasters, Bitcoin headphones for Bitcoin podcast listeners. In the cold. Yeah. We need more of those.
I will tell you, like, some of the nicer ones, they have these cool modes, so you can toggle back and forth between noise cancellation and what they call transparency mode, so you can kind of hear what's happening around you. So they're actually potentially really good for the workplace, because you can still listen to music at a very high quality level and hear what's happening around you at the same time.
You can still do carpentry adversarially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you can, sometimes I do this with my wife, you know, where I'll be listening to something on my headphones and I'm like, yeah, I can still hear you. And it's just enough so I can kind of get what she's saying, so I can nod while I'm listening to to Ungovernable Misfits.
Okay. Yeah, if you can send me links for any of these, that'd be great. They're probably only available in America. That's a problem. High quality products, they're hard to come by in Canada because our dollar has failed so much that it'd probably take me 2 or 3 weeks to just afford one of these pairs of headphones that are quality. I'm just gonna research them real quick. Give me 2 minutes. I'll be right back. I'm gonna take a quick look at this.
Wow, you need to buy Bitcoin so you can afford to listen to podcasts in Canada.
I don't think I've ever interviewed somebody in my entire career that has left been interviewed to do research.
This is why the people in this, for the intellectual Silk Road, they're just so much more advanced than regular people.
I will say, I'm pretty shocked by the picture that Goomba is painting of Canada, because everything I'm hearing from the credentialed media is essentially saying that the economy is fine there, and it sounds like it's not.
I have no idea. I mean, real estate prices are fantastic in Canada.
Okay, I'm looking back here, and everything seems to be priced in USDT now, and it's a struggle being a Canadian, man. But yeah. I don't think you guys understand how hard it is when your money is hyperinflating at the rate it is.
Richard was just talking about, go tell him what you told me.
I was just saying, I don't hear any of what you're saying from the credentialed experts. It's kind of shocking to hear the picture that you're depicting, because when you look at the syndicated press, they say the economy is fine. They're talking about how Canada is reaching new levels of compliance, new levels of tolerance.
Real estate market soaring.
Yeah,
but it sounds like people are struggling to even pay taxes. Is that the case, or are people able to pay taxes?
I haven't met somebody in the last 4 years that's been able to pay taxes. I think that the authorities in charge of relaying the information of the economy and the situation of the economy are spot on in that prices are going up. And so if your metric is house prices going up is a good thing, then you're right on, because houses are spiraling to the upside. And so if you own one, there's about 12 people in Canada, I think, at least, that own a house. Most people are renters, but those 12 people are doing great because their net worth in Canadian dollars is skyrocketing. Now, if that's what you think is progress, I can't disagree with that. I just look at it from the Bitcoiner perspective, and I think that a deflationary currency is better for the well-being of the citizen, of the individual, right? So I look at prices going down as progress. And that's where I have to hard disagree with any credentialed journalist that says prices going up is a sign of success. Because from the Bitcoiner perspective, prices going down is a sign of success. Jeff Booth says prices fall to the marginal cost of production. If you have a calculator app on your phone, then it's likely free. Why is it free? Because people are able to make technology cheaper and cheaper over time. So I'm firmly in the belief that prices going down is a sign of success. And that's just not what we see in Canada. We see prices going up higher and higher and higher.
It's very shocking. It's very alarming. Wonder if there's something that we could do about this.
I just looked at it. Let me do this calculation one more time. Right now, the price for one share of MicroStrategy is 545 USDT. If you were to price that, CADT, even though that doesn't exist, 545 Canadian. Man, Michael Saylor is rich in Canada.
Yes, yeah. Even if he holds his money on any custodied solution, he's still rich. You just It's a very simple, the Canadian dollar versus the American dollar is a very easy way to see that fiat currencies fail. Full stop.
So at 300,000 USDT, you said that you might sell in, is that so you can pay taxes, buy MicroStrategy shares? What are you, what would you sell for?
So what I need you guys to understand is I have no plans of selling my okay. sats at any point. Right. What I do is I work, I buy sats, I spend whatever I need to on the essentials, you know, food for my son and rent.
Cigarettes.
As cigarettes and headphones.
The essentials.
The essentials, right? And so once we hit 300K USDT, I think I'll likely be it'll likely be about $1 million CAD.
Enough to retire.
Well, enough to retire if I were to move somewhere else. $1 million CAD is not going to go far. But the problem, what's lucky for the consumer in Canada is that a lot of companies don't understand how inflation works, so they won't raise their prices with the inflation. So I'm looking at buying certain products that will look cheap in today's sats. And so, yeah, money is about upgrading your life, living a life that you want to live, spending your time how you want to spend it.
And you want to play video games.
That's something that's important to me. It's a medium that shows story and narrative in a way that simply watching television shows or movies just doesn't. I'm like any other Bitcoiner. I watch Braveheart every other week. I watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy on the opposite weeks, and then I'll watch Gladiator on the other days. So I'll watch those. But any other movie, it just, there's no story there. So the only way to get a real good narrative driven story is to play video games. And I think that's something that's important.
So we talk about buying Bitcoin so you can afford to pay taxes, but what, there's more to life than paying taxes, even though some people will be surprised to hear that. And some people just, they want to have a life outside of working and paying taxes. And for some people, they want to pay their taxes, play video games, and be left alone. And if that's what you want, especially if you're Canadian, you should buy Bitcoin.
That's right. And if you're going to have an off-grid homestead out in the bush that you have your solar panels and your own oil well drilled for to get power, then what else are you going to use that power for other than to power video games? You know, what's the point of having an off-grid homestead if you can't kick back on your couch and enjoy a good 8-hour experience? You know, what else are we here for other than that?
Right. Does Canada, like, do they allow all the different video games, or like, are there non-compliant video games in Canada?
Yeah, do they exclude uninclusive video games?
Do you have to KYC?
So there is a movement going forward that is inclusive to all body types and human forms, right? There's, if you look back, there's in feudal Japan, samurais were there. There's a new game coming out where there's a female samurai. And that's an important story to learn from, right? What would have happened if females were samurais in 1200 AD here, you know? So, well, what would that be in Bitcoin time? About 1214 before Satoshi. Did they have to wear
masks in video games?
Masks? Like COVID masks?
Yeah, do Canadians still, like, aren't there a lot of Canadians who, they don't want their right to wear masks to be taken away from them by the government?
So one thing I do need to just put out on the table here is that any Bitcoiner in Canada there's only one place you can go. It's Alberta, right? So
me, I thought you were gonna say Bull Bitcoin.
Well, you can go to Bull Bitcoin, and actually, funny enough, Bull Bitcoin does now reside in Alberta. They've moved to their headquarters. That's a true fact. You can look that up. But anybody that's in Canada, that's a Canadian Bitcoiner, you're going to look around and you're going to say, well, I kind of value freedom. You know, freedom's an important thing in my life. I care about being able to do what I want to do without the government telling me what I can and can't do. And so there's only one small bastion of freedom here, and that's Alberta. And that's where I've moved to. So luckily, I am somewhat segregated from the absolute disaster that has been the rest of the country. Alberta is Canada's last stand.
It's like Florida.
It's like Florida or Texas. That's right. When I was in Ontario, I was actually in Ottawa, which is the capital of Canada. I was next door neighbors to Justin. Basically, I could ride my bike down to his house and say, you know, say, hey, what's up? And Pierre Polyev was actually, this actually isn't a joke, he was like 2 minutes from where I used to live.
Have you ever tried to orange-pill Justin Trudeau? Do you think that Dennis Porter's ever had a chance to try to orange-pill Justin Trudeau?
I think Justin's going to learn his lesson. You know, his dad, Fidel, was a big fan of communism. So Justin thinks communism can still work. We'll see what happens there. I'm more hopeful of Pierre. I'm more hopeful of the premier of the province I live in now, Alberta, Danielle Smith. She's a hardcore Bitcoiner. She's talked to the likes.
She's a girl?
Yeah, she's a great leader. You know, probably.
Is she hot?
Oh, super hot, which is great because.
What did you say your name was?
Danielle Smith.
Is she hotter than LiquorUp? Is she hotter than Alden?
She is a Bitcoiner. She's talked to Bitcoin Brains. She's talked to Francis Pouliot. She's talked to, probably Madex was there too. I'm not sure. A lot of Bitcoiners have had one-on-one conversations with Danielle Smith. She's a hardcore Bitcoiner. She's putting forward plans to hopefully separate Alberta from Canada. You know, that's something that will be in the mix within the next decade.
Could you make Bitcoin your legal tender then?
She could if she wanted to.
Nice.
I'm not a big fan of legal tender laws. I think you just...
Interesting.
You don't need a government to tell you what money to use. You just use the money that makes sense to you.
But normies do.
That's right, yeah. But what normies don't understand is the currency is labor. Labor is currency. Money is Bitcoin, right? So if you have anything other than labor that you can create or hard money in your cold storage wallet, then you have nothing.
So this is kind of more interesting. Energy, yeah. So I'm looking at the geography of Canada right now. So I would say Danielle Smith is definitely not as hot as Lynn Alden. But then again, I have not listened to her on a Bitcoin podcast.
I think yet. You should. They could almost be sisters, really, when you look at them side by side.
She knows macro.
She's,
well, you could clearly see. It's not like you're questioning whether or not Danielle Smith has 2 ears or not. You can tell she does.
Yeah, well, she's bold. She's not afraid to show her ears or cover both ears, whatever she wants to do.
So,
what podcast head that she listens to or listens on?
Yeah, she may have access to outside of country technology, given she has a direct relationship with Dave Bradley, Bitcoin Brains, and Francis Puglio. They could be sending her high-quality headphones that I just don't have access to yet. You know, that's probably a 2 or 3 cycle thing for me from now.
So do you think, I think one of the, well, first of all, I want to comment on the geography of Canada. So Alberta is in between British Columbia and Saskatchewan, right above Montana. So it's completely landlocked. There's the Northwest Territories above. I don't know what that means. I assume that just means there's a bunch of sparse land where, you know, nobody lives, and maybe some Eskimos have some citadels or whatever. But I know that Eskimos don't actually live up there, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So this country wants to leave Canada and be landlocked, trapped between Canada and Montana, pretty much.
Sure. Yeah. So I have a great answer for that. One thing you need to understand is that water is important, but there is another liquid that's more important than water. It's called oil. Alberta is flooded with oil. It's all over the place. It's great here.
Would it be a democracy then?
We would have threats of democracy coming this way, but then I was just about to get to the other second best thing about Alberta is not only the oil, but being Americans, you won't understand this. In the rest of Canada, there's no guns allowed. In Alberta, guns are allowed. So if you're landlocked and it's just by, you know, other people in the way, Albertans are able to blast their way out. So Alberta could easily take over British Columbia. We could move west.
Is there a Dennis Porter to protect your right to guns there?
Well, I think he was saying Francis was like the Canadian Albertan Dennis there Porter, right?
That's right. Right.
He's got an in with the politician with what's her
Danielle Smith. She's gonna make some waves. She's writing a Albertan Charter of Rights and Freedoms that she's launching so that we have the rights to our guns and our oil and our Bitcoin. So if you have that trifecta, what else do you need? Guns, oil, Bitcoin. And how else? I mean, you take over the world at that point.
Steven Barber would agree with that. Cool. Full.
Stephen Barber is here. Yeah, he's my next door neighbor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good Bitcoiners here. Whenever you hear about a Canadian Bitcoiner, it's likely that they're in Alberta.
So I want your opinion. So, like, the entire nation of Canada, I think, looks to Steve Barber as an important figure in the Canadian world of business, right?
Right.
What do you think the average person's opinion on him shaving off his mustache are?
So it was a bold move for a few reasons here. One is that November is historically a time to grow a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to shave it off. I think that's just his Bitcoiner ethos shining through, saying, you tell me what to do, I'm gonna do the opposite. I'll grow the most magnificent mustache in the entire world, and I'll shave it off in November. And that's a sign of leadership and loyalty to yourself. He's someone that thinks very highly of himself. He's someone that thinks he can make a difference. And those are the type of people that we want to look up to. The people that simp for themselves. You know, you look at yourself and you say, I'm the best. I can shave off my mustache and I'll still be the best Bitcoin miner in all of Alberta, Canada.
Canada, maybe not so much Alberta, but Canada could probably really benefit from a broader campaign of we've simped the collective. Now it's time to simp the individual a little bit.
I think simping for yourself is something that people need to start doing. There's been a lot
of simping. The best way to start is by listening to 40 Hours of Bitcoin Podcast.
That's right. There's no way to take care of yourself better than listening to 40 Hours of Bitcoin Podcast a week.
It's just like on a plane, like before you put the oxygen on somebody else to help them, you have to put the oxygen on yourself. You have to listen to 40 Hours of Bitcoin Podcast before you can orange pill other people.
Circling back to your idea about starting a Bitcoin podcast for Bitcoin podcasters, like I think like the topic that we're currently on right now is it's very exciting because I think there's a lot of there's not enough Bitcoin podcasters that simp for themselves. You know what I mean? It's a pretty advanced topic. And I think like part of the reason why is so many Bitcoin podcasters start Bitcoin podcasts so early on their personal development journey. And like when you're locked into the seed oils and when you're locked into fiat and you aren't smoking cigarettes, there's a lot to unlearn. There's a lot to learn, but there's also a lot to unlearn.
That's right.
Yeah. Some people start one too early because they want people to simp for them, but they haven't learned to simp for themselves yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, people are taught to simp for politicians. They're taught to simp for, unattractive people like Lizzo. She obviously doesn't smoke cigarettes. Zero chance.
She's on a weight loss journey, so hopefully she started picking up smoking cigarettes. I think that'll help her. But she has started tripping for herself. You know, she cares about herself, and she's putting herself first. That's important.
Do you really think she is simping for herself?
Yeah.
Is she actually trying to lose weight?
I think she is. She's come up and told everybody that fat is not beautiful. And being that's a strong statement.
Yeah. If Lizzo or any of her people listen to this, reach out to us about 40 Hours of Bitcoin podcast. We'd like to talk to her about it.
Well, I think there's this real danger right now. So I think this is interesting. This might be, I'm looking at pictures of her. It does look like she's lost a significant amount of weight. She's like unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a weird picture. It's kind of like one of those like fat lady catfish pictures that they post on Tinder.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Like she's probably still pretty fat, but she just looks like she's a lot less fat, but
she can hide it though.
You know what she's trying? She's in, like any Bitcoiner knows, you should be at least 50 pounds less than you were
when the cycle started.
That's easy to achieve, right? All you have to do is eat steaks and do 100 push-ups a day until 100K, and you'll drop the weight. So maybe Lizzo's been eating steaks, and hopefully she's doing her push-ups, and she'll be feeling a lot better very soon.
Well, we opened the episode about being grateful, and I am grateful that people are starting new journeys of health, better mental health and physical health, and it's all because of Bitcoin podcast and cigarettes.
I agree.
I think that's a good way to end that one out. I don't know, Richard, if you have any closing thoughts, I think this was a good conversation. I think I'm excited to do some more of these Wednesday nights, Thursday releases, podcasting adversarially.
Yeah, I look forward to this. First time doing this. We couldn't have had a better guest than Mr. Greenberg here. I feel hopeful for the territory of Alberta. And when there's a higher concentration in the other Canadian provinces, I might feel hopeful for the rest of Canada. But at this time, I do not. If people cannot afford taxes, you can't have a functioning society or video game.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I want to thank you, Gooba, for doing this, and Rod for coming up with this idea, and I look forward to doing it again. I think we should do it live next time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I agree. Keep pushing it. Thanks for having me on, guys. Keep doing the great work. Keep putting out that good journalism that you've been doing, spreading the signal that the Bitcoiners need to hear, man. It's important to get the words out and get the potential Bitcoin podcasters Bitcoin podcasting as soon as possible. You know, that's how we change the world. So I appreciate you guys.
Thank you. We deserve that. Yeah.